Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. Bills players get their Tuesday off, back tomorrow to begin the practice week for the home opener. 2-0 Bills, 0-2 Cincinnati Bengals. Buffalo looking to start a season 3-0 for the first time since 2011 in franchise history. Bills have opened the season 3-0 nine times, and in seven of those 9 years, they made the playoffs. They're concerned about rookie running back Devin Singletary. He is day-to-day with a hamstring strain. Back at practice tomorrow, all of them, the Bills-Bengals, the home opener Sunday, 1 p.m. Around the NFL, Eli Manning's run as the starting quarterback for the Giants appears to be over after almost 15 years. Rookie Daniel Jones is taking over starting Sunday on the road to Tampa Bay. Giants announced it today. Pat Shurmur says he spoke with Eli about it this morning. Manning, 38 years old, has made a franchise record 232 starts since he replaced Kurt Warner in November 2004. Quarterback questions in Carolina, where Cam Newton apparently has aggravated his foot injury in the loss to Tampa Bay last Thursday, and he is out of practice today, not on the practice field for the Carolina Panthers. No timetable for his return, but it is an aggravated foot injury, according to Carolina's GM. The Jets have turned to their third quarterback now. Luke Falk, who was signed off the practice squad earlier yesterday, finished up the game last night. The Jets' 23-3 loss to the Cleveland Browns after Trevor Siemian suffered a potentially serious injury to his left ankle. Jets down to quarterback number three on their depth chart. Steelers acquired defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins last night in exchange for a first-round pick in 2020. The draft picks going back and forth. Fitzpatrick was the 11th overall draft pick in 2018. He got permission for a trade from the Dolphins earlier this week. And now Jacksonville cornerback Jalen Ramsey wants out of there. His agent told ESPN that he wants the Jaguars to trade him. League sources say Jaguars have had talks with teams about that already. Sabres, preseason game number two tonight. They play Columbus, 7 o'clock at Nationwide Arena. They won their first game in preseason 5-4 last night against Pittsburgh. Here we go. Hour number two, John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our Seneca studio at One Bills Drive. Ready to connect now with our Tuesday 1 o'clock guest. You see him on NFL Network. He is the co-host, one of the co-hosts of Good Morning Football on NFL Network every weekday morning at 7 a.m. And he had an epic rant. Kyle Brandt had a Brandt rant this morning talking about Angry Runs, an award they give out apparently every week. And his number one winner for Angry Run this week, You got to hear this to believe it. He gave his number one winner of the Angry Run to Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
The rain is short. Let's get a new king, a new era.
Okay.
And let's get it from a quarterback? A quarterback? And it's going to be a quarterback who's won this segment before. He's a big old dude from Wyoming. And Josh Allen says, get off of me.
Oh,
oh my goodness. Oh, Josh Allen, this is so good. This is a bad, bad Buffalo Bill. It puts the lotion in the basket or it gets the hose again. Yes. It does this whenever it's told.
Oh, wait, was this a big, fat, stiff arm?
Yes, it was. Look at Lorenzo Carter getting ear-holed by a second-year quarterback. Josh Allen could slide. He could run out of bounds. He could do-si-do. Instead, he decides to throw a left cross like he's back on the cantaloupe farm chucking around melon. Roll it for me. We don't mess around with corners in this segment. We don't even mess with safety. Bring on the linebackers. Bring on the guys who are about to hit. Josh Allen is supposed to be this big old long arm Randall Cunningham. I'm telling you, this guy's Jerome Bettis when he gets out of there.
Kyle, you know what I love?
What do you love, Peter?
Watch Eli and Daniel Jones on the sideline from this angle here.
Okay.
You're going to see two other quarterbacks say, oh, man.
Oh, look at Eli right there. Yeah. Oh, that guy's really good. Daniel Jones is like, put me the hell in the game.
Hey,
and then you can actually
Kyle,
beat him. Yes.
Linebacker dapped him up and hit his helmet afterwards.
As he should. Josh Allen goes out to get Carter, and I absolutely love it. But does that win? I would love to send it to Western New York. 2-0, by the way. 2-0.
Kyle Brandt. Hey, Kyle, I was wrong. That's a nominee. You'll announce the winner later this week. How can any other Angry Run win, though, after that presentation you gave today?
You got to understand, I black out in the middle of that segment. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know where I am. I'm on a different planet. So to play that back, I'm saying, I said that? I said put the lotion in the basket.
Yes, that's my next question. What does that mean?
We could give it to Josh, but as you guys know, Josh came on the show last year and accepted the Angry Runs trophy. We can't give it to him every time. Even right. during the Jordan era, sometimes you got to give the MVP to Karl Malone or David Robinson. Josh Allen will win it again, and I guarantee you this. If he does that, let's say in a couple of weeks against a team that plays in New England, he will get the trophy again.
That's right. Well, for the second week in a row, the team that the Bills beat lost their starting quarterback. Of course, the Jets did it to an illness and mono, but the Giants have benched Eli. A lot of people say they saw it coming. And I don't know how much of it has to do with the Buffalo Bills, except that they made both those quarterbacks look a little pedestrian.
Yeah, I mean, I pray for Andy Dalton right now, because that's the next man up. And I honestly, no matter what this Bills defense accomplishes next week, next month, this year, their legacy right now, as far as I'm concerned, they're the team that ended Eli after years and years and Super Bowls and everything, and they did it. And not a second too soon. I love Eli. We all do. We respect him. He feels like a family member. We're watching him for years. But at some point, if you're the Giant, you just got to say enough. Enough of this. It's enough of this average play and the body language and just no juice. I'm so glad they're going to Daniel Jones. And I'm so glad they waited one more week so the Bills could be the last team to beat Eli. You watched that game. At no point did you think, wow, Eli might pull this thing out. Eli might turn the thing around. They had a great first drive where Saquon did the heavy lifting, and then it was just milquetoast like it's been for 2-3 years, guys. The Giants made a good choice.
What does put the lotion in the basket mean in a football sense, Kyle? I'm still struggling with that one.
You know, it sounds like it's suspiciously dirty, but it's not. We go back to Silence of the Lambs, of course, and it's all about being in the basement. It's very creepy, but it predates Josh Allen by far. I bet he would not know the reference. It would have to go to some – I bet Frank Gore would know that reference, kind of an older guy who would appreciate Silence of the Lambs.
I love it.
It's still early, and what does week two show us about the Buffalo Bills, in your opinion?
You know, I looked at that game, and it was like, I don't know if you guys are into boxing or MMA. I imagine you are, at least a little. Sometimes a guy gets up on rounds, he gets up on the cards, and he just kind of leans on him. He grabs, he leans, he knows he's going to win. This was the Buffalo Bills playing a much inferior opponent, hitting a few strikes early, and then the defense just held on for the rest of the way. It was like one of these wins that the first drive for the Giants, they got it out. Maybe they had it scripted or something. And what it tells me about the Bills is they can beat a team that's lesser to them. They did not play down to their competition. I don't know how great they are. I think we're going to find out in a couple weeks. But, man, Josh Allen gets me excited. He really does. Not only – look, I love the running. I love that touchdown where they pulled two linemen and had Frank Gore out in front of him running one in. But there was one throw in the first quarter. I think it was to the tight end Knox where Allen rolled out and just had this frozen rope right across the middle. And I just kept saying, it's all there. And we've seen this a million times now, thankfully. It's just, he's running, he's throwing, and he's doing it on the road again. He hasn't even had his home opener. And he did it against an inferior opponent. We see it every week. Good teams lose to teams or play down to them, to teams that are worse than them. I think the Browns did it last night. The Bills did not. They haven't for 2 straight weeks. And I don't think they will this week.
Cal Brand, our guest, the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. He joins us every Tuesday at this time. A lot to like about what the Bills have done offensively, and 28 points on the board against the Giants Sunday. But any thoughts on the Buffalo defense a couple of games into the season, Kyle? What do you think?
I mean, I love it. This is what it was going to be under McDermott, right? I mean, it's reminding me of a couple of years ago, the Tyrod Taylor season, except I think we have a better quarterback now. And look, there's this sense with the defense of, all right, so in the opener against the Jets, maybe the Jets didn't have it. And frankly, looking back now, I can't say this for sure, but I'm not sure that Sam Darnold was right for that game. With what ended up happening to him, he didn't look like himself. Shortly after the game, he comes out. So the Jets, the Giants, obviously broken. When is the Bills defense going to get a test? When are they really going to get tested? Andy Dalton's throwing the ball around some, sure, but it's the Bengals. They just got housed by San Francisco. We'll see in week four. I mean, we know who we're playing week four. We know I'm calling the Bills we now. I must have done 2 weeks with you guys. But I'm excited about it. I really feel that way. I think the Bills defense is good. Are they great? I would say the same thing about Josh Allen. Huge test in a couple of weeks.
Right. Well, let's talk about the game last night. The Browns into New York to take on the Jets. And I don't know how fast or how far the Jets can possibly fall in just 2 weeks. But, man, here they are. It gets worse as the game went on last night with Simeon now going out.
it's a shame, too, because even if you're a Bills fan and you say, ah, the hell with the Jets, I'm here in Manhattan. This was the most exciting offseason for the Jets in a decade. I really mean that. With all the money they spent and all the players, Le'Veon and Mosley, here's the facts of last night. The state of the 29 New York Jets. C.J. Mosley didn't play. Quinnen Williams didn't play. Obviously, Sam Darnold didn't play. Le'Veon Bell's out there doing everything he can, but it's a joke. I mean, this Luke Falk had never dressed for a game before. He was activated 8 hours before kickoff. And this is the New York Jets on Monday Night Football, guys. And there was a discussion about if Luke Falk gets hurt, who's even the backup? I don't even know if they had somebody. I think it might have been Le'Veon just in Wildcat. Again, on Monday Night Football, the Jets are out there in their stealth black uniforms and their fancy helmets. And I've seen seasons, we all have, completely bottom out and just fall apart. And, oh, my gosh, we just got to get to next year. It's week two. It's September. We haven't even had the pumpkin spice lattes yet. No one's even going apple picking yet. And the Jets season still feels like it's rotting on the vine. And I'm not relishing it. I feel terrible about it because the Jets put in a lot of money and they tried new things, new coach, new running back, new everything. Guys, it seems like last night that Jets team would have lost to the Dolphins this year. I really mean that. It was that decrepit. I feel terrible for them.
Late word, too, from the Jets just moments ago that Adam Gase announces that Trevor Siemian is out for the year, so Luke Falk may have to start. I thought one of the great sidelights in last night's game was Odell Beckham versus Greg Williams, and there's no question about who won that battle last night, right?
There was a great shot of Greg Williams, who I call Triple G, on the sideline, reacting to Odell's touchdown. Yeah. And just, what is he supposed to do? Again, Greg Williams took over a defense that had the best middle linebacker in the game, and this great rookie, Quinnen Williams. And he's out there with guys, rookie linebackers, and Odell is running free through the stadium. I do think it's interesting with Odell that, you know, it's this great story. He comes back, he makes the one-headed catch, he has the long touchdown back in his old stadium. And there's always something. It can't just be this clean, great game. This issue with him, if you watched the game last night, after he makes the one-handed catch, he is pulled out of the game and misses a critical third down in which the Browns could have scored because of his helmet visor, which is a very strange thing. We've seen guys wear visors, socks, anything, wristbands that they're not allowed to. But for a referee to say, get out of the game as your team is in the red zone, I've never heard of before. Typically, it's on the sideline between series or after a game, you get fined. There's always something with Odell. You had to wear the visor. You couldn't just come in like the rest of your teammates with the clear one. It can't just be clean football. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I don't get why it took them till midway through the first quarter or whenever it was to find that out. Don't they have guys on the sideline look at that during pregame? Yeah. Unless he had a different helmet, which I doubt. All of a sudden, they decide to do something about that he'd been wearing that helmet for 2.5 hours before they actually got around to pulling him off the field.
Well, it's a weird thing, Steve, because now it's like, okay, so the guys come out and there's the gloves and the cleats that they wear in warm-ups, which is a different set of rules for what they can wear in the game. And so is that Odell's warm-up visor? What is his real visor? It is an interesting point, though, is how many people on the Browns on staff and their teammates, they know the rules. You can't wear this crazy blue blocker visor thing. Nobody said to him, Odell, by the way, you shouldn't wear that thing. And I would be willing to bet that somebody on the Jets narked him for wearing it and maybe even did it in the middle of that first series so they could pull him out. It was one of the greatest things the Jets did last night.
One of the most effective things.
All right, one of the things I got to ask you, I know you're a big Chicago guy and the Bears. How about our kicker for the Bears? I mean, that a regular season reaction, you may not see a better one.
Well, Eddie Pinheiro, who they are now calling Eddie DeNiro, out of respect for the late, great Eddie Money. I mean, this was an unbelievable moment. You think, oh, it's a week two kick to beat the Broncos. This is a almost biblical saga of what the Chicago Bears have gone through to find this kicker. The Cliff's Notes version of which is 9 kickers in OTAs doing unbelievable drills, like kicking from the same distance that their kicker, Cody Parkey, who they cut after he appeared on the Today Show and who they're still paying, missed from. Then they narrowed down to 3, then 2, then 1. And wouldn't you know it, in the second week of the season, Eddie DeNiro has a kick to win the game with 1 second left. And oh my God, he split it. So there's the sake of rejoicing in Chicago, which is, we got a kicker. But do we have a quarterback? I don't know.
Right.
The Bears are really intriguing. They do have a kicker. I don't know if they have a quarterback.
Kyle, I agree. I think the Bears, Steve and I kind of disagree on this. I think the Bears are better than the loss to the Packers and a squeaky victory over Denver. You know what I mean? And it does come down to the quarterback, but I think they'll be all right when it's all said and done. Don't you?
Here's what I think. Week one, I tend to throw out. I say this the last week. Week one is a liar. Week two, at Denver. Denver, I've looked this up, is 17-1 in their last home openers. It is a crazy place to play when it's hot and when there's altitude. Khalil Mack, who is in better shape than like Greek gods, was on the sideline for key snaps because he was gassed. He couldn't get in the game. So going into Denver in September and getting out of there with a win, fine, it counts. But now, I don't know. I still don't. We talked about this last week. I don't know if Trubisky has the dog in him. Yeah. I don't know. And after week two, it just raised more questions.
Well, there's a guy who's there's no question about. He was the MVP last year, and he started out. Everybody said, well, he can't have another year like he did last year. It's just statistically impossible. But then Pat Mahomes throws for almost 300 yards in a quarter. He may put it out of sight.
Yeah, and the Bears could have drafted him, by the way. But here's the thing that I love about this. First of all, how do you not love watching Patrick Mahomes? I don't care what if you're a Raiders fan, a Broncos fan, Bills fan. Everything about him is cool. He plays different. He talks different. He's got extremely positive vibe around him. And I love seeing this because you guys probably were onto this. In the offseason, there was this band of people. I don't know who they were, if they were fantasy geeks or sabermetrics wizards. Who were not only predicting this regression for Patrick Mahomes, there was almost a sense that they were almost pulling for it. Like they did not want him to play as well, and they wanted to see him regress. He's not regressing. He's getting better. He was out there doing this against the Raiders, 270 yards in the second quarter, and he was without the greatest deep threat in football, Tyreek Hill. This was him with one arm behind his back. He's playing Mortal Kombat, and the kick button doesn't work, and he's still getting the fatality. Patrick Mahomes, there's no ceiling. He can go 60 touchdowns this year. 60, and he'll throw 12 of them without looking. It's the best sport.
With Kyle Brandt from NFL Network, the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network. We're in a weird time, I believe, Kyle, in the NFL right now. Jalen Ramsey wants to be traded after his little dust-up with Doug Marrone. Minkah Fitzpatrick got traded last night. Antonio Brown did his thing. It's somebody pointed this out. It's a little bit like the NBA. The players are starting to take over where they want to go, huh?
Yeah, Murph, it's a weird thing where they're getting empowered and one sees another one do it. And there's running backs who watch Le'Veon Bell and we'll see how I can do. It doesn't always work that way. I mean, ask Melvin Gordon if the Le'Veon Bell plan works. Yeah. Ask some of these other players if just begging to be traded works. It's an interesting thing with Jalen Ramsey because, first and foremost, you know, teams can say no. They can say, screw it. I don't care if you want to be traded. We're going to put up with you, and we're going to keep you because you're that good. If I'm the Jaguars, I am going behind Jalen Ramsey's car in the parking lot and lying down and not letting him leave. He is one of the best players in all of football, and he had a dust-up with the head coach. I don't know if Jalen Ramsey is not more important in the Jacksonville Jaguars than Doug Marrone is right now.
I agree.
It's interesting, too, because we were talking about this morning on Good Morning Football with what Jalen comes with the attitude, with the GQ interviews, with the quotes and everything. If you were a fan, if you were a teammate, if you were in the front office, do you openly want Jalen Ramsey on your team? Is that a guy that you want to join the organization? My answer is a resounding yes. Because did you see DeAndre Hopkins this past week? I didn't. Mm-hmm. He had about 40 yards receiving because Jalen was all over him. He has a lot of opinions. He has a lot to say. But he is a great, great player. And he is nowhere near even the universe of someone like Antonio Brown, who was off the reservation, who sabotaged his team. Jalen just gets a little worked up sometimes. He's one of the best players in all of football. Jacksonville should keep him, but any team that lands a trade for him wins the day.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting question because you get to this point where these guys are so important, particularly at the quarterback position. What are you going to do when an elite quarterback pulls this one of these things where I want to be traded? And how important is it and how difficult is it to replace a head coach? Now you look at Jacksonville, there's a guy in the front office up above him who won two Super Bowls in New York in Tom Coughlin. How easy would it be for him to come downstairs and kick Doug Marrone out the front door and say, you know what, Jalen, I'll get you. What do you want? You know, and we'll go on ahead.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a huge dynamic shift in the NFL that has the potential of changing the way they do business.
It feels generational, Steve. I would turn it back to you. If at the height of their powers, somebody like Thurman or Andre had said, "I'm done here. I want to be traded. Get out of here. I want to be. I don't want to play for this team anymore." Would the team? How would the team respond? How would the locker room respond?
Yeah, it wouldn't. It'd be negative. There's no question. It was a. If you got a group that wants to do things together, it's because they want to do it together. And if somebody wants off the ship, I think players would be pretty much willing to say, "Okay, take off. We'll get the next guy." But it would. But let's face it: you lose a good player, it's harder to win. There's no question about it. No matter who it is, and
I wonder then what somebody like Calais Campbell or Yannick Ngakoue or some of these guys who have been to the AFC title game with Jacksonville. I'm sure they're good with Jalen. I'm sure they're tight with him. But they go to practice today, and they're reading on their phones that his agent wants him out of Jacksonville. And guys, they got to play a game in 2 days. They're Thursday night, and they're trying not to go 0-3. So they got big, big issues. It's an interesting how that would play in the locker room.
Yeah, and interesting. You got to have the conversation, though. The old guys got to go to the young guys, or the lesser players got to go to the star players and say, okay, what about it? What's the problem? Can we fix it? And it's, you know, most conversations don't get into therapeutic territory in a locker room. You know what I'm saying? It's new territory. But you got to talk the guy off the ledge if you can. And I think that if you got a guy like Calais Campbell, maybe they will go out there and sit down with a lunch pail and say, hey, you want to share a sandwich out here before you jump? Right?
Well, he badly wants to be traded. This is the guy who showed up to training camp in a Brinks truck. Maybe he should show up to Thursday Night Football in a moving truck. One of those old Mayflowers. Just send the message.
Kyle, last thing we got for you, Kyle. You talked about the Bills-Patriots game a couple of weeks away. Now, the Patriots get the Jets with probably Luke Falk at quarterback this week. There's a chance the Patriots could come to Buffalo without having surrendered a touchdown yet this season on defense. That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Even to this point, they haven't surrendered one. Going back to the last touchdown that the Patriots surrendered was to the Kansas City Chiefs in the title game. Yeah. That's a streak, guys, that includes the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I'm gonna. We do this every week, and I love it. I'm thrilled to come on, and I'm gonna pledge to you that I'm never gonna come on and disingenuously hype the Bills if I don't mean it. Because I see all these guys who go on a team show or anything that say, "Oh, you're the greatest team ever." I'm not going to come on in here and tell you and be like, you know what? I think the Bills can take this Patriots team. I'm not going to do that. This Patriots team is probably the best one they've had in a decade. They're absolutely loaded, and all the eyeballs go to Brady and Antonio and everything. The defense is incredible. I mean, incredible. Say what you want about the Jets or whoever they're going to. This is the team that completely ended McVania and shut down the Rams in the Super Bowl. It is a juggernaut right now.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that about you, Kyle. Thank you very much. So just put the lotion in the basket, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Thanks.
Murph, or it gets the hose again. We'll talk later.
Thanks, Kyle.
Kyle Brandt, host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network, 7 a.m. every weekend, NFL Network. He is great. Put the lotion in the basket. What a great line. You know what's great about it? He's right. It sounds a little dirty, and it's not. And nobody quite knows what it means. What does it mean? I mean, I know how it was used in the movie, but what does it mean? Hey, just put the lotion in the basket.
Well, it's interesting, too, because the guy who says it down the hole in the movie is nicknamed the Buffalo Bill.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
That's what forget. The serial killer Silence of the Lambs' nickname is Buffalo Bill.
You're right.
Put the lotion in the basket or you get the hose again.
We got a break here. We're coming back with more. It's One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio. We're back with more in a moment.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live on this Tuesday afternoon. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our studio. And joining us in studio, Buffalo Bills second-year defensive lineman Harrison Phillips. Horrible Harry. Does anybody call you that anymore?
Yeah,
do they?
Still sticking a little bit.
They
yeah.
call you Harry a lot. Is that where you're going with Harry now? Should I drop the Harrison and go with Harry?
I mean, professionally, it's still Harrison, right? But
that's how you sign your contract.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I won't forget that one.
Right.
Harrison Phillips with us here today to talk about, obviously, the Bills and the 2-0 start and the way the defense is playing. But we should also make note that this Sunday, before kickoff, the Bills are going to remember one of their all-time great fans, Pancho Villa, who passed away this past spring. His family will be here. There's going to be a special pregame ceremony to mark his passing and the great work that's been done since then. You played a major role in that, haven't you?
Yeah, I tried to as much as I can. I mean, I appreciate so much what he had done for me and just trying to pay some of his legacy forward.
What did he do for you?
Well, I mean, first of all, making my entrance to the NFL so remarkable and unbelievable. You know, there's a lot of people not affiliated with the Buffalo Bills or affiliated with football in general that saw that and saw how cool that was. And it just makes
your name at the draft.
Yeah, this moment up here. I think, you know, it just brought so much attention to the fact that it's bigger than a game. NFL as a whole, it's bigger than a game.
You met him at camp in 2018, and you sort of bonded then, right?
Yeah, I mean, ever since he drafted me, I kind of was indebted to reach back out. And so I did that early on, and we had this relationship going, just a FaceTime text message thing. And then when we met in person that year at training camp, actually, this is the moment where we met, right?
All the teachers.
That was kind of the friendship started, and then went through the season.
And this weekend, his girlfriend, his two kids, his mom, the family's going to come down. Kim and Terry are going to meet and greet and give them some gifts there on the sidelines. They got a little video they're going to play pregame. That's kind of a nice gift for his family now that and plus the legacy of the teachersdesk.org that is out there. There's a lot going on still even after his passing.
100%, and I'm so pumped up that we're going to be in the position we're in right now, 2-0, first home game. So much emotion going into this game, and I think that's going to be the most difficult thing for me is just controlling my emotions through the game and stay focused exactly on what we're doing. His legacy is everlasting, and everything the teacher's desk is doing is fantastic. All the lives of kids that are going to be affected for that this school year, amazing.
Well, when you talk about this home opener, let's talk about this football game. What do you tell the young guy, the new guys? I mean, you've done it once. I mean, what do you tell them about what it's like to walk down the tunnel on opening day in Buffalo on a day, you know, like it's going to be spectacular weather, you're 2-0.
Yeah.
I mean, these days don't come along all that often.
I know, and I only have one home opener under my belt, and we were 0-1, I think, at the time. Right. But it was still absolutely infectious, and I tried to tell some of the younger guys and the newer players to our team, and all of us do, like it's special playing here. And, you know, we really, truly care about our fans and the fact that they show up. And you look at the fourth preseason game, you know, we had a bunch of people at that game who stayed the whole game, watched the comeback, and were rattled. I mean, it was like we won the Super Bowl. People were going, you know, it was so fun and so passionate. And that's the Buffalo Bills fan base. And so to see that on a smaller scale there, it's going to be absolutely unbelievable.
Harrison Phillips, our guest, Bills defensive lineman, and it's been fun on the road for a couple of weeks. Is there a chance, Harry, that this defense could be better this year than you were a year ago?
You know, I think that we have a chance for sure. And somewhat what's kind of hard about football is that the win-loss column or the sack column or, you know, tackles for loss, sometimes that doesn't always indicate how good of a football team you are. And what, you know, Sean and Brandon, all of our coaches, what they keep preaching is we don't focus on those results. We're just focused on the process and every game, every play, can we be better? If our technique grades are better each week, by the end of the season, we'll be up there in the conversation. And so we're just focusing on getting our best four out there, rotating, and making some plays when we can.
Yeah, and that I've said that a little bit this offseason. Where do you go from a top defense in the league? How do you improve? I made that same point that this could be a better defense even if you're not ranked as highly, given the way you play your techniques individually, the way the games fall, and the way other defenses and other teams play, and particularly the way other offenses play that aren't so good. That other it pumps teams up. Talk a little bit about this game. I mean, you're getting racked up into this home opener. You come in 2-0. And you're playing a team, well, it's 0-2. I mean, you got to kind of fight the urge to, think about the next week almost, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you have to stay in the moment. And again, they've done such a good job of bringing guys in here who are all like-minded individuals focusing on going 1-0 every week. But, I mean, I can't even think of that many games I've been a part of that we were the favorites. You know, last year just – that's not the way it fell often. And so it's cool, and we're excited about it, but we're still, you know, we're still 0-0 going into this week and just trying to get 1-0 this week.
Harry Phillips, Bills defensive lineman with us. One of the trademarks early of this Buffalo defense has been tip passes. You got two of them against the Giants, officially seven credited to the Buffalo defense through the first 2 weeks. What's going on there? Why so many tip passes, do you think?
Well, I think it's because, you know, we talk about it. We emphasize it up front. We know that in this league, the way that it's going nowadays, quarterbacks aren't sitting back there and humming the ball and patting the ball and patting the ball. They're getting to their set, and they're throwing that ball in 2 seconds, 1.8 seconds, 2.2 seconds. And so if you can't get home, you know, one of the ways to affect the quarterback is with your hands and getting his vision or bat a ball down. And so knowing the situation, getting smart players out there, if they're in an empty, he's not going to sit back there and hold the ball for forever. So you got to dictate that in your rush. Don't dial up some elaborate move. Just get close, get some pressure, and get a hand up.
You're getting to the point now where you're almost splitting reps equally with Starlo Tulele. What is different about your second year coming into this same defense than it was a year ago when you were seeing everything for the first time?
Well, there's a lot more confidence going into year two, and I feel like a lot smarter player because having a whole year with Kyle in the room and also a whole year to watch Star, who's also a veteran in this league and has played amazing football and is still playing at a very, very high caliber. And so working with him, and he understands how eager and passionate I am to get out there, so he's not afraid to say, hey, Harrison, you can go get this series, or, you know, only stay in for a few plays and give it his all so then I can come in and give it my all, and we have a good rotation going. But it's really nice, and I think that I'm a firm believer that you're a better player as the game goes on. I would think that most people get their sacks towards the end of the game because you get to set up your offensive lineman a handful of times, work an inside move, and then work the outside move. And so the more opportunities you get like that, the more production is going to come.
The defensive line rotation has been healthy through the first 2 weeks, and shoot, it was 78, 79 degrees this past Sunday. You needed to have a lot of guys getting a lot of snaps up front, huh?
Yeah, and the way that we want to go is just go 100% as fast as you can, and the second you can't go 100% anymore, come on out. And we have the depth to do that. We have eight players who I believe could probably start somewhere in the NFL. And the way that they word it with us is we all are starters, and so we're all playing.
One of the things about this team that has been coming out of the locker room and all the media coming out about the culture that has been established here is the third year Sean McDermott, and certainly it seems to be really well entrenched. What is the culture on this team, and why is it important?
Well, I guess that's an easier question to ask than what our identity is, because, you know, our identity is going to be found out through this season. But, you know, our culture is one of growth mindset, one of focusing on the process, and really selfless players, understanding that, you know, I guess me personally, I could have probably more tackles. I could probably have more production, more hurries, maybe more sacks if I did my own thing. But that's not what we're here to do. We're here to win football games. And so all across the board, you got 11 people on offense when they're in, 11 people on defense, and almost most importantly, 11 people on special teams who are all bought into to that play and how that play is supposed to be blocked or how that play is supposed to be protected and what gap we're supposed to be in. And so when you get a team that can do that collectively, I think that's how you win games in this league.
When do you dig into the Bengals this week?
We already started a little bit. You know, Tuesdays are our off days, but a lot of guys still come in. We have a D-line group chat, so I texted it. We all met at noon today and watched the first couple games they had this season. I saw some linebackers in here, the quarterbacks. You know, we all kind of get do it on our own time around our lifts and our massages and stuff on the off day. But just trying to create a healthy habit and get into it early so that by the time we get into meetings tomorrow morning and they're, you know, talking some stuff about the Bengals. Well, actually, Coach, yeah, we already know some of that. We know some of the runs they like.
Yeah.
One of the things that happened this offseason was the building got bigger. They built this new thing. It's really cool. And they're using it a ton. The guys are in there all the time. But we were mentioning just before we came on the air, one of the other things that, unlike some of the teams we're looking at and we've been talking about the whole show, the Bills are kind of relatively healthy. The injuries they've got are akin to like a shaving nick, you know, they're just, they're minor injuries. Even in the preseason, it was that same way. Can you attribute
maybe the good fortune they've had on the injury front, collectively speaking, to what's going on in this building?
I definitely think so, and also somewhat to about what our team is pushing, and our coaching staff and everybody in the building says the training room is a good place to be in. You want to be in the training room. You want to be with our strength coaches and everybody in our performance enhancement area because you know they know the best way to the best rehab is prevention. And so to stay on top of things. And I think another thing we can tip our hats to is how hard we went in OTAs and how hard we went in training camp. You know, if you take it easy. And you go to game and you strain, that's when you get the pulls and the injuries like that. But we had a heck of a OTA period and a heck of a training camp, and so we're in fantastic shape.
Hey, Harry, did our producer came across this on Twitter. Did you see what Tre'Davious White posted? With
I see
you have. What's the big deal? You're in Subway, so what? You have the right to go out, right?
Look,
now?
Yeah, I don't understand what he was all upset about. I think the first comment that should be made is, why was he at Subway too, right?
Yeah.
And I wish he would have kept the video going because you would have seen my healthy sandwich.
Yeah. Your veggie lover sandwich. Yeah, right.
No cookies, no chips, but... You know, if I do love Subway cookies, and if Subway would ever like me to come on air and eat as many cookies as I can, I will happily do that.
I'll get the big deal. So
I thought you guys were a close-knit group, and here's Tre'Davious throwing you under the bus at a fast food restaurant, I guess.
It's okay. Yeah. Did he put my reply to Tre'Davious?
What did you say? Keep it quiet?
I said something along the lines of like, hey, Trey must not trust the process.
There you go. There you go. The process this Sunday includes the pregame ceremony to remember Pancho Villa. You'll be part of that, meet with the family. And it's important to note that a lot of people benefited, right? The 100 kids benefited from the teacher's desk and Pancho's legacy. That lives on, right? They're packing those backpacks all last spring, right?
Yeah, it was a really cool thing. A bunch of us players got a show out, and just a bunch of people here in Western New York who wanted to come and support. And any time that you can affect some of these kids who maybe don't have the opportunity to afford these goodies before school starts, I always remember going school shopping. It was an exciting time to get fired up for school. And so to get that excitement for these kids is fantastic.
Yeah, it's more than 100 that were affected by it, but 100 of those kids will be on the field pregame. Coming up, and you can still actually that's still an organization that's still live and up and running. You can still contribute to the teachersdesk.org/donate. A lot of kids were helped at the beginning of the school. I know school started, but still a lot to be done, and it really does say something about Pancho's legacy that's continuing and so many people were affected by it.
Yeah, and not only just Pancho, because yes, obviously he's the catalyst who pushed this thing going, and it's all on his shoulders, but how about all of Western New York supporting it? And not only just Western New York, but all of Bill's backers across the nation, and that's truly why our fan base is undefeated, and that I hope I can beat Buffalo Bill for a very long time.
There you go.
Thanks for this.
Harrison.
Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me
Harrison
on.
Phillips, Harry, he joins us here in the studio. Steve and I coming back with more. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, live from the Seneca Studio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to the show, One Bills Live from our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. Hey, it's time for Milestones, presented by Reed's Jewelers, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. With a win on Sunday, the Bills would start the season 3-0. They have opened 3-0 nine times in their history. Seven of those nine teams qualified for the playoffs. What's also known here, and I wrote this for a piece that's going up, the last time they started 3-0, they finished with just six wins. That's not what you're looking for.
Oh!
Right? So it can go either way. The point is,
we're
Steve,
due.
The point is, anything can happen here. It's a good start. It's already a good start, 2-0. But But there's still a long way to go. 14 games left, 13 games left. Still a long, long way to go, right? You agree?
I totally agree. But I will say this. It seems like last night we were like in Carolina.
What do you mean?
Once the season starts, man, it goes fast.
Oh, I know. It goes fast,
Oh, the Jets are – oh, gosh, now the Giants are gone. Yeah. Now we're – oh, the Bengals are right today.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, it's that season
and,
slips.
And if you fall behind, it's hard to catch up. And I'm trying – now we're only week three here, but I'm trying hard to keep up because there's a lot going on around the league and, of course, here.
You gotta keep up with your process there, Murph.
I'm trying to adhere to that, you know, respecting the process. Mm-hmm. Your buddy Frank Reich, your former teammate, head coach in the Indianapolis Colts, has an interesting issue on his hands with his longtime kicker, the veteran kicker, Anna Vinatieri, the future Hall of Famer. He's had a rough go. He's missed a couple of extra points. I believe he's missed a couple of field goals already this season in two games. They are 1-1, so it cost him a little bit in the first game and not in the second. But Frank Reich had a stirring defense of his kicker in a radio interview yesterday. Here's Frank Reich on Adam Vinatieri. Here's what he said.
Just want to make this clear. Adam's our kicker. Like I said yesterday, we have zero concern. He's not only our kicker, he's an instrumental leader on our team. You know, when we talk about toughness and what we're all about as a team and a program, there's probably no one who epitomizes that more than Adam. Adam will figure it out. We have the confidence and belief that he will figure it out. He'll do what he needs to do. Yes, has it been 2 weeks of subpar? Yes. Is it catastrophic? No. To me, it's far from catastrophic. This is the NFL. I mean, it's a court, you know, some of the most elite players that I've ever seen or played with or coached, I've seen them have two bad games back to back. So that's just the way I see it.
Frank Reich, strong defense for his struggling veteran kicker, Anna Vinatieri. You don't hear coaches defend kickers that strongly usually, right? They miss a few kicks, and most coaches are like, oh, maybe you should look around a little bit. That's happened in the past.
Well, a lot of coaches aren't as good of leaders as Frank Reich is. I mean, Adam Vinatieri is going to figure it out. And you saw some of the kick the arrow has shown is that I believe it was an extra point where they were going to go up 20-17 on the Titans, and he kicks it right down the middle. And not this one. He kicked one hard left, no question, but he kicked one right down the middle, and it curved wide right.
He missed.
I mean, he missed it and doinked it off the upright. It was going right down the middle, and it just bent.
He missed it.
Yeah, he slid.
He missed
a slider. So
right.
He hit it.
He missed
good.
It.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you fired every kicker who missed a kick, we'd all have to be kickers because you'd run out of people.
He's missed more than one. Here's the thing.
He's a 20-year vet who's missed 100.
He's on his way to the Hall of Fame, a 20-plus-year vet who has been great, sensational, won Super Bowls.
Let me tell you this.
Well, let me finish my point first, please.
All right.
He's been had a great career, and the question has to be going through everybody's mind, including Frank Reich's. Is it over for him? Is this the end? And for Frank to go so strong in his defense, I'm impressed by that, and I'm intrigued by that.
Because you got to be intelligent enough to know if you put another guy in there and you have a game-winning kick, would you rather have Adam Vinatieri making your kick or some guy who you picked up off the bus stop?
Right now?
Adam Vinatieri.
Right now?
Yeah.
You'd have to think about it after the way he started.
You would take a guy from the bus stop over Adam Vinatieri. That was the point. Adam Vinatieri.
No, I would not take a guy at a bus
Thank
stop.
Thank you. That's you who you're going to get.
We're taking a break. We're back with more.
On,
One Bills. You're
right.
Wrong. Nobody said anything about a bus stop. There are kickers out there. And if your kicker is playing poorly, then you look around. Maybe we need another guy. Maybe we need to look at it. That's all I'm saying. By the way, I salute Frank Reich for standing so strongly in defense of his kicker. Here's my point. The main point I'm making, normally coaches don't defend their kickers to that extent. That's what I'm saying.
And
don't misinterpret it.
All right, Carl. And the reason he is doing it is because it is Adam Vinatieri. And guys have bad spots.
There's never been a kicker who's kicked at that age for that long. Maybe
yeah,
the bad
true.
Spot
that's
is here to stay.
That's not true. George Blanda kicked older than that. Of course, he was only at the end, he was only kicking extra points. He didn't kick field goals. So there you go. But all that, I get it. Adam Vinatieri's in a bad spot. And when you're that age, particularly a guy like Adam Vinatieri, and here's why the question comes up, and here's the only reason it's even up. Because we knew he was thinking about calling it quits himself.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Because he told a reporter Sunday night, I'll talk to you tomorrow. We don't have access to you tomorrow. Well, I will talk to you tomorrow. He's got to be thinking it. The owner's got to be thinking it. And I maintain that Frank Reich's got to at least think about it. And for him to think about it and come to his defense that strongly intrigues me, impresses me.
I think so, too. But I also think he's right in this case. You think about the – we just had Adam Kyle Brand on. You know what the Chicago Bears did this last – 9 guys in OTAs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has become – it's and the Jets. It's become a thing to give that position, in my opinion, in this context, a lack of respect. If he can't make this kick in this situation, kick him to the curb. Let's get another guy in here. And I think it's a mistake. I think it's a better option and a better way to have a guy in there who is trying to fix it with the same snapper and the same holder in different situations. And I think Frank is right. And I think the Bears would have been right. I think the Jets completely bungled it by benching or getting rid of a guy who is in the Pro Bowl and letting him walk in free agency.
How long do you let it go before it bites you, before it kills you, before you lose a game that you shouldn't lose? That's the calculation they have to make.
Yeah, that's I get it. And the Bears, what are the Bears are going to switch their kicker out before the championship game? Before the – not the championship game, the playoff game they lost last year? They're going to change him out that week? You don't know what's – you don't never know when it's going to happen. But you got to have a guy you trust. And plus, it's not about trusting to make just that kick. It's also trusting that he's got a process that he's going to fix the problem. And Vinatieri, sometimes the problem isn't just a thought process in one kick. He's going to fix it. Sometimes it takes some mechanical work.
It takes a lot. I repeat my point. It takes a lot to me for Frank Reich to defend him that strongly, knowing that everybody's thinking, oh, is this the end? Is this the end? This is a special circumstance where the guy's been doing it for that long.
Okay, let me make this point. As valid or invalid as it is, it does take a lot for
him. Don't let that stop you.
Right, exactly. For a coach to go out and defend him, maybe they all should have been defending the guy they had because he's on the team for a reason. Now they're bailing on the guy.
Who's what's bailing?
The New York head coach, the Chicago head coach, the Denver head coach. You name a kicker who's been kicked to the curb. That head coach bailed on him.
Now I know
after
you're
letting
not,
the guy win the job.
I know you're not saying no kicker has ever deserved to be replaced. You're not saying that, are you?
Not at all.
Okay, because it sounds like it.
If he makes the team in the beginning of the season, why does he not get to make mistakes?
Maybe he just barely made the team.
You got a quarterback that throws 5 interceptions.
He will lose his job as well if that keeps going. Sure they will. Quarterbacks get benched. You know this. We're breaking. We're coming back. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.